I'm Bill Littlefield. We've got a bunch of stories in this week's show about lesser-known basketball leagues and players, but I promise there will be none of that in this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know, unless, of course, my guests surprise me. They are WBUR Shira Springer and Michael Lee of Yahoo Sports. Welcome back to both of you.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Shira, you're first.
Earlier this week, Nike announced that it will start selling a pro hijab for female Muslim athletes. The religious headgear has been tested by elite female competitors in the United Arab Emirates and Egypt, and it will go on sale in 2018. Now, the pro hijab makes a really powerful symbolic statement. After all, here's the biggest athletic brand in the world saying, essentially, global sports should be more inclusive for women. But let's be honest, part of Nike's motivation is market expansion. Perhaps it's not surprising that the hijab announcement followed Nike's release of an Arabic version of its training app. I get it, but wouldn't it be great if Nike offered more than the pro hijab and an Arabic training app? With its estimated worth of $27 billion, I'm thinking maybe Nike could fund gyms or training facilities for all the women in the Arab world who they hope will soon be wearing their hijabs.
I also would be much more inclined to applaud Nike if there wasn't a big swoosh on the side of, the,
yeah.
of that black hijab. Mm-hmm. It can't help but be a marketing technique if Nike is involved. That's what they're all about. And, hey, if it helps some athletes to be more comfortable and to be able to participate when they were not previously able to do that, good. But, boy, I would like to see one without the great big advertising logo on the side.
Well, I think it might actually help them make it look a little cool, too, because I remember covering a Muslim high school where the girls' basketball players just kind of just wore sweats, and it didn't actually look like the coolest, you know, look when everyone showed up on the court. So I think if you can come up with equipment that looks smooth, the swoosh is a brand that everyone, you know, kind of latches on to. I think in some ways it sort of lets you know I'm an athlete when you put it on.
I think that's a good point, but I think it could be just a bit smaller.
Probably.
It more is subtle. Quite in your face on the hijab.
Michael, you're next. What's on your mind?
Well, the NCAA tournament is just around the corner. And the biggest name, the name that everyone will probably be hearing a lot about, doesn't play, doesn't coach, but he is the father of one of the top players, and that's LaVar Ball. On the Mount Rushmore of athlete parents, you would have to put Earl Woods, Richard Williams, probably Mike Agassi, Marv Marinovich, you know, guys that are just so involved with their children's athletic success. And LaVar is actually taking it to the next level. He has three sons, Lonzo Ball, who is considered a top three, top five prospect in the NBA draft, a point guard at UCLA. He's got two other sons who are in high school, LiAngelo and LaMelo. LiAngelo had 72 points in a game. LaMelo just had a game with 92. They're all about the numbers. They're all about the flash. But this dad is not just a man with a plan. He's a man with a big mouth. And if you put a mic in his face, he has a lot to say. And recently, he really shook up everything when he said that his son Lonzo is better than the two-time MVP Steph Curry. The Ball brothers have a chance to be something like the brothers Mannings of the NBA or something even bigger. But I wonder if the parent does too much to overshadow their kids, is that actually good or bad long-term for these guys?
Shira, there's a softball for you. Can there be a situation where the parent does too much for their kid?
Yes. yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Parents can overshadow their kids and actually to the players or the kids' detriment. That being said, from what I've heard from Lonzo and the comments he's made about his father, I think he has a really good perspective on how to handle it all. Basically, he said, you know, I've lived with my father my whole life. That's just who he is. I've heard him talk my whole life. I let him do the talking and I do the playing.
I think that Papa Ball is over the top. There's no question about that. But on the other hand, maybe he's just demonstrating that he's learned from the adventures of Muhammad Ali back when he was still Cassius Clay and lesser self-promoters. Because what Ali taught us is if you say, I'm the greatest and it's going to be huge often enough, whether or not it's true, people are going to begin to believe it. And there's a certain degree to which the sizzle is at least as important in our world as the steak is. And maybe dad is just creating as much possible sizzle.
Especially in this social media dominated world. I mean, I think people have loved to get into a back and forth about whether LeVar is good or bad for his son. But I have a question for you, Michael. I'm wondering, what kind of impact do you think this has, one, on teams who might be looking to draft Lonzo? And two, once he starts playing in the league, do you think players are going to go after him? I mean, I'm curious about what that first matchup with Steph Curry is going to be like.
Yeah, that could be a drawback, but I think the talent with him is something that if you're drafting him, you can kind of overlook the dad to some respect. I think NBA players are definitely aware of Lonzo Ball. They're definitely aware of his dad, and they know that right now his dad is writing a massive check that his son's going to have to cash. And it could work out in his favor because it may be what motivates him to go out there and get better and compete. But I know for a fact that he's going to come in with a huge target. But he's done well so far in college, and I'm sure guys are want to go after him on that level as well.
All right, it's my turn. This week, ESPN's Howard Bryant concluded a story about the World Baseball Classic with these words, and I'm quoting now, "If baseball doesn't want to be swept into oblivion, its biggest stars need to be where the lights are brightest." He was referring to the absence of Clayton Kershaw, Bryce Harper, and Mike Trout from Team USA in that World Baseball Classic. I think swept into oblivion might be a little over the top, but I really like his sentiment. I wish the World Baseball Classic did draw the MVPs and the Cy Young Award winners. It'd be great for the game. It'd be better for the competition. And the teams that are sending their best players would have a better way to measure how successful and how good those players really are as baseball comes along in those countries. And plus, it's good fun. Hey, a real world champion emerges from this as opposed to the champion of North America. Michael, do you wish to disagree with me?
I wish to disagree with you, primarily because baseball is such an American pastime that I just don't know if American baseball fans will even care about what's happening, no matter who plays. I think it'll be ignored. I mean, there was a time when A-Rod played, and I don't think anyone cared about the World Baseball Classic. I think that, you know, it's such a regional game. You can look at the local ratings for baseball. You know, fans get behind their teams and their local teams. They don't care about what goes on nationally. So you try to turn that to international baseball, I just don't think that fans will connect no matter who plays.
You know what? I was siding with you, Bill, and then I think Michael may have convinced me to look at it the other way.
It's not the first time that I've been one against two in this particular context. It's all right.
But you know what? It's important to speak to a larger point, which is that Major League Baseball can do a better job of promoting its stars and recognizing that it's through the stars that fans, particularly young fans, connect with their teams. And I think if you want to get that younger generation of fans into the fold, you've got to start doing more with individual players.
You know, Mike Trout is the best player in baseball, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. But I bet you Mike Trout could walk into just about any place wearing a Mike Trout shirt and a Mike Trout hat, and fans wouldn't know who he is because baseball doesn't do a great job of promoting its stars. But if they did, and Mike Trout played in the World Baseball Classic, maybe that'll help. But I think you got to really do a better job of having fans connect to these guys. I love Mike Trout playing. I love watching him play. He's fun to watch, but most fans don't even know what he looks like. They couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
I think it's fascinating that my topic, which was supposed to be about competition, has ended up being about marketing, because so much is about marketing in this wonderful world in which we live.
Whether it's hijabs or whether it's individual baseball players.
It doesn't seem to matter.
Or young college basketball players.
Yes, yes.
My guests for this week's Three Stories You Should Know have been Michael Lee of Yahoo Sports and WBUR's own Shira Springer, who also contributes to the Boston Globe. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.